Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 230 in the series. This is November 5th, 2017, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
Didn't I just see you like I don't know, 12, 14 hours ago?
I think I'm always here.
Well, you look great. And are you ready for some classic radio?
Always.
We have Shantae Garth in the booth. She's our producer. She's the best in the biz. And we have Richard Diamond, private detective for you from 1952, Dick Powell. Then it's Duffy's Tavern, starring Ed Archie Gardner and special guest Vincent Price. Then it's Suspense from 1944 with Eddie Bracken in a tale well calculated to keep us in suspense. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming film The Equalizer 2, a sequel to the 2014 film and based on the TV series.
All right. What do they win?
It must be the holiday season because the winner is going to get a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time.
Tree Time?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds good. I could
know.
Actually use one of those. We were talking about, I don't have a...
Well, you're going to have to
pay
for it.
I have to get a Christmas tree this year, so I'm going to Tree Time.
I was just asking you about that.
All right. The number to call to win, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor is the star of Fences.
I asked you a question. What law is there say I got to like you?
Yeah. Right?
That's what I always say.
That should be your motto. All right. 312-981-7200. Who is that famous actor? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater Show 230, if you can believe it. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
I asked you a question. What law is there say I got to like you?
Yeah, Carl.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Let's talk to Pat. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. Who is that fine actor?
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington is right. And you know what you won?
A Christmas tree. Right?
Yeah, you get a certificate. It's a desktop pre-lit sports theme artificial tree. You can come by Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, and you get to pick out the team theme of your choice. That sounds like a great prize. So thank you so much for calling in and starting off the show. We've got a great 3 hours in front of us.
I appreciate it.
And take care, Pat.
I look forward to it.
Great.
Appreciate you, my friend. All right. And I appreciate all of our listeners. And what are the ladies drinking tonight out
there? So we've got our lady friends.
There's like, how many ladies are there?
I
30
think about
or so?
5,000 ladies in the grouping. They've got Old Fashions. I don't know what that is.
Old Fashioned.
It's like what's an old fashioned?
I don't know,
you know
what goes in an old fashioned.
I'm sure they're going to let us know.
I mean, you're all about libations. You should know the potent potables. You should know about that.
I'm a big drinker.
Big.
But I don't know about
old fashioned.
You
should see when we play Suspense and it's sponsored by Roma Wines. She's like,
just go crazy. There's a little bit of, I think it's some vodka out in the green room.
Wow.
There. So if, you know, you're getting the urge, it's grapefruit
They
flavored.
Know how to get us warmed up here at WGN.
Oh, yeah, we're plenty warm.
Yeah. All right, well, guess what? It's time for Richard Diamond, Private Detective. But I do want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. And if you do text us throughout the three-hour show, we will see your text, and we get back to just about everybody. I mean, Lisa's fingers, I've never seen it. And it's the eighth wonder of the world. Her fingers move faster than the speed of light.
We were just talking about texting, and my kids, they tease
really,
me because
really
I'm so slow. But I don't feel like I'm slow, but I do have to look at the letters. Unlike the kids these days, they don't even look down when they text.
I know.
But
you're,
we do read everything. Oh, I'm quick. We do read everything, and we, well, that's easy. And we appreciate the communication. You can also go to our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. You can check out. We have a fun fact on there. We have photos of the people in the radio shows and all sorts of information. So it's a good way to stay connected.
Absolutely. All right. It's time now for Richard Diamond, Private Detective. You know, this show was created by Blake Edwards. Blake Edwards, of course, for years was married to Julie Andrews, and he was a very famous writer and then a producer-director. He directed all the Pink Panther movies with, you know, with Peter Sellers. And this was a detective series, came to NBC Radio in 1949, lasted until 1953, and it starred actor-crooner Dick Powell. And, you know, which was kind of interesting because he was a singer. He's kind of known as really a singer. And then all of a sudden they were casting him as a detective because he played Philip Marlowe in an RKO film, Murder, My Sweet. And some of the radio producers were like, hey, Dick Powell, he did a great job in the movies. Why not cast him on radio? And he was perfect, absolutely perfect, as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. And then years later, he had a television production company, and he decided, I'm going to produce a TV series on Richard Diamond. He didn't cast himself. He cast David Janssen. And then David Janssen, of course, became Richard Kimball, you know, The Fugitive, which was a very popular television series. He sort of gave David Janssen his start on his television show. So let's go back to February 8th, 1952. This is called The Eddie Burke Case. It was originally sponsored by Camel Cigarettes. We've removed all the Camel cigarette commercials, but this stars Dick Powell, part one now of Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. We bring you another transcribed adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, you spent the dime, you named the crime.
Oh, no.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. Rick, what kind of a slogan is that? You spent the dime, you name the crime.
Well, it only applies to people calling from phone booths, dear.
Well, I'm not calling from a phone booth.
Then you have no right to judge the merits of my slogan.
This is logic?
Dear, you worry about your millions and I'll worry about my slogans. Elva, how is your bulging little bank account these days?
Healthy, which is more than I am. I have a cold.
Why, you poor kid. Cheer up, I'll let you take me to dinner tonight. That should make you feel better.
Maybe. But, you know, I seem to remember a past generation where the men took the women to dinner. I suppose you never heard of that arrangement.
No, but it does sound novel. Shall we try it?
Love to.
Good. I have 2 cents in my pocket. Beat me in front of the corner drugstore and I'll blow you to a stick of gum.
Oh, Rick.
On second thought, we'll split a stick of gum and save the other penny for entertainment.
All right. I'll take you to dinner.
Well, if you insist. I'll meet you and your wallet at 7, dear. Bring your own cough drops. We'll have a... Wow. I do believe a living creature has wandered into my emporium.
Client?
I think I put it more elegantly, but why quibble? See you at 7. Bye.
Bye.
Diamond?
That's right.
I'm Eddie Burke.
Glad to know you, Mr. Burke.
Eddie Burke. That's me.
You said that before.
Well?
Well, what?
Diamond, you know why I'm here. Don't stall.
Sorry, pal, but I can't seem to remember who you are or why you're here. Should I?
What is this, a game? Just hand over the package. You've been paid.
I have? Well, that's news to my bank account.
Now, Diamond, don't get smart with me. Where's the package?
Now, take it easy, Burke. Let's get something straight. If you'd like to hire me and pay $100 a day, then I'll humor you and pretend to know what you're talking about. I have loads of screwy clients. But if you expect me to listen to your wild talk for free, start walking.
I don't think I like this.
Well, that's tough.
No, I don't think I like this at all.
Well, that... Oh. Well, I'm not sure I like that gun, either.
Then we're even. And now no more stalling. Hand me the package.
All right. Only first you tell me where I find it.
Okay. Okay, so you play it cozy. You plan to cash in on it yourself, huh?
Burke, either this is someone's idea of a bad joke or you're a pretty mixed-up guy. What makes you think I should have a package that belongs to you?
Casey got scared.
Casey?
Yeah, she decided the package would be safer with a private cop. She says she paid you $1,000 to keep it till I came for it.
Well, all I can say is that Casey should never go near a lie detector. I never heard of her. Or you or your package. So put that gun back in your pocket and beat it, huh?
You're pretty cool, Diamond. Only, Casey don't lie. You open the package. You know what it's worth.
Pal, you're so far...
Stand up.
Oh.
Up, Diamond.
Oh, suit yourself.
Diamond, I'm not gonna kill you unless I have to.
Glad to hear it. Now, suppose
now,
you...
Don't talk big. You'll be seeing me again real soon. Only next time I contact you, you won't get off so easy. When you come to, if you're smart, you'll get that package and have it waiting for me. Now, keep your hands up. Hi.
Burke, you're making a big... Oh, it isn't fun getting a face full of cold steel. Your eyes seem to fly back into your head, and by the time they bounce into position again, you're not seeing out of them. But in my business, things like this happen so often, I go to the blood bank once a week for a refill. I don't know how long I was out, but when I came to, I made the mistake of dragging myself to the wash basin and looking in the mirror. Oh. I looked like a bad dream trying to qualify as a nightmare. And then I got mad. I decided I wouldn't wait for Eddie Burke to come and see me. I'd rather find him first. I put my hat on what was left of my head, picked up my car from the garage, and headed downtown to the 5th Precinct and Lieutenant Walt Levinson.
Hi, Fancy Pants. How's it? Wow. What happened to your kisser?
Now, that's a new disguise, Walt. I'm posing as a pound of hamburger.
Nice work. You even got the ketchup. Mm. No kidding, Rick. What gives?
Well, a guy by the name of Eddie Burke must be a frustrated plastic surgeon.
Well, he's not frustrated anymore. What caused it, Rick?
It beats me. Burke came in, acted like I should have a package that belonged to him.
Maybe he thought you were a Chinese laundry.
Very funny.
Don't kill yourself.
You crack some more like that and I might.
Come on, let's get back to Burke.
Well, I didn't know what package he was talking about and told him so. He thought I was lying and went to work on my face.
Well, cheer up. It's an improvement.
Bless your brass buttons and head.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, this was supposed to be a warning of what would happen next time Burke contacts me.
What's he going to do, make weekly visits or something?
Oh, no, no, nothing chummy like that. He just promised to look me up once more for the package.
I see. Well, what brings you down here? You come to cry on my shoulder or fill out an assault charge against Burke?
Neither, you sympathetic soul, you. Just thought you might know something about this Burke guy. I'd like to look him up and play some more games.
I'll bet. Well, we've had Eddie Burke down here a few times. I'll get his file.
What's his racket?
He was set up on a counterfeiting rap several years ago. Before that, he was mixed up in about every... Yeah, here we are. Here's his folder.
Good. It's a big one, isn't it? I'm going to look at a list of his friends. He said a gal named Casey told him I had the package.
Casey? Never heard of him with a girl by that name.
Oh, sure. She's the lad with the bat.
What bat?
The one she struck out with.
Struck out? What are you talking about?
You remember Casey at the bat.
Yeah, but that was a man. Oh, dear. Look at the file. The only name you'll find connected with Burke is Manny Warren.
Manny Warren? Oh. When was Manny mixed up with Burke?
On that counterfeiting rap. They couldn't prove anything against Manny, so we let him go.
You think he might know where Burke is now?
It's hard to say. Manny's been running a big garage over on 71st. The address is there in the folder.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be the only lead. Here.
You know, that package Burke lost and thinks you might have. Thought that was important, huh?
Important enough to bash my head in. Why?
I'm just thinking. When Eddie was picked up, we never found the plates he was making the phony dough from. Chances are he hit him.
You think the plates might be in the package?
Could be. Only I still can't figure out why this Casey dame say she gave them to you.
Well, neither can I, Fatty. But I'll try and find out. See you later. I drove across town and located Manny Warren's big garage. From the looks of the place, Manny had come a long way from his counterfeiting days with Eddie Burke. There were several trucks inside, but just one man, a beefy-looking character pounding out a dent in one of the truck fenders. I walked over to him. Say, buddy. Hey. Hey.
Huh? Oh.
Is the boss around?
Who wants to know?
That's a silly question. I want to know.
Maybe he is, maybe he ain't. What do you want to see him about?
I'd like to hire a truck. My relatives are coming in town for a sightseeing tour.
Huh?
Oh, skip it. Where's Manny?
You tell me who you are, maybe I'll tell him you're here. Boss don't like to be interrupted all the time.
Okay. We'll play it your way. Tell him Richard Diamond wants to see him.
Richard Diamond? You're the private eye?
The private black eye at the moment. Snap it up, huh?
Okay, I'll tell
you. Bill on that blue car, you'd better...
Hello, Manny.
Well, Diamond. I haven't seen you around for quite some time.
I bet you've been heartsick.
Yeah. What brings you down here?
Eddie Burke.
Eddie, huh? Okay, Bill, get back to work.
Yeah.
Come on in the office, Diamond. Sit down.
I'm not tired. About Eddie.
What about him?
You seen him lately?
Uh-uh. Well, what I want with a punk like Eddie?
You were pals once.
I'm glad you said once, Diamond. That was 7 years ago. I run a legitimate business now.
So it seems. You must have made plenty off that counterfeit money to start a place like this, Manny.
Yeah, just watch yourself, Diamond. They proved Eddie was mixed up in the queer money, not me.
Yeah, let's skip the small talk. You know of any place Eddie might be staying?
As like I say, it's been a long time since I knew Eddie. He had a girl back then, though. Maybe he still runs around with her.
Was her name Casey by any chance?
Yeah, that was it. Nancy Casey. She might be listed in the phone book.
She might be. I'll take a look anyway.
I'm sorry that's all the help I can give you, Shamus.
You look it.
Yeah, don't I? I'll drop around again sometime, though. Always glad to see a familiar face.
There's a word you don't hear much anymore, Shamus. You know what a Shamus is, Lisa?
A Shamus.
Do I have a Shamus? Did I get you here on this one?
There's obviously more than one meaning.
Yeah.
Because the Shamus is the candle on the menorah
for
Hanukkah.
That's not what. Yes, probably it is. But in this case, it means a detective. It was a slang for a detective or a gumshoe, a detective. Right?
Right.
Shamus. Hey, Shamus. It was a cop, you know. That is the first portion of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, with the Eddie Burke case starring Dick Powell. More after these words. Lisa is so excited, Roger. You know why?
I got my 2K's personalized calendar.
She got a personalized calendar.
I thought for a second as you started to talk, I thought you were going to say you got a tooth pulled or something.
No.
Are you kidding? I've never had a cavity. I'm going to go with that. Did you know, Roger, I go to the dentist like every 3 months.
Lisa brushes her teeth once a week whether she needs to or not.
No, I'm highly dentist oriented.
How's that calendar looking?
It is really cool.
It's
a Chicago calendar.
Yeah.
But it's personalized.
Her
it's
name
got my
is
name
on
throughout
every page.
It. Like it has a marquee with my name on it. And
wow,
I don't know, everything. It's on the roads and in the water, and it's everywhere. I'm feeling really
excited.
We'll
have to
really
take a picture of you and your calendar and post it, okay?
Let's do it.
Sounds good. Yeah. Wow.
Did you get one, Carl?
Actually, I did.
Oh, yes. Look at that.
But, you know, I didn't open it yet because I'm actually hosting the radio show.
When I get a gift, I rip it open. That's what you're supposed to do. He's like, yeah, I'll look at it next
week. Didn't it say don't open until Christmas or something?
I don't listen to that.
All right. Well, you know what? We have news coming up here. Yep. Let's see if it's sponsored by anyone. Is the news sponsored? No, the news is not sponsored. But when we come back, it's the conclusion to Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Then you know what, Roger?
What?
Duffy's Tavern.
I love Duffy's Tavern.
Special guest Vincent Price.
Ooh,
how fun is that?
That's awesome.
Then after that, your favorite and my favorite, Suspense.
Suspense.
From 1944.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Are you Carl Amari or am I Lisa Wolf?
I don't know where you end and
I'm
begin,
confused
Carl.
Sometimes. By Sunday, I get very confused because I'm on very little sleep. You know, I had like 3 hours sleep last night.
You know what? Whenever there's a problem, it's Roger's fault.
I think so.
Yeah, it's
that's why
Roger.
He gets 3 hours and I get none.
Did you sleep last night, Roger?
No.
Okay.
He was
I
up,
can tell.
You know why?
By the way, this is a celebration.
Why?
It's the final day of my 12-day marathon.
Of what?
Of working news.
Of working here.
At WGN.
12 days straight?
Yes. Yep.
Congratulations. It's the 12 days of Christmas.
That's why you make the big bucks, Roger.
Yeah, real big.
You're
ones.
Set for the month now.
Yeah, I buy it at the novelty
now
store.
Now you can buy your Tesla.
Yeah.
With the little model. I've got my road race set, my slot car set now.
There
I could
go.
Put it on there.
12 days, you're set.
That's all my son keeps talking about. He wants a Tesla so badly.
Oh, really?
Tell him to get a job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you can go get a Tesla. You can buy a Lamborghini. Just go get a job. And
yeah,
then, you know, pay for
sure. You can afford it, then you get
hey,
one.
And then, you know, sticker. Once in a while, let
Until
me drive
then,
it.
Until then, you get a bike.
so you're going to go home and take a nap when you get done with the show?
Yeah, I'll take a little nap.
Take a little nappy poo.
I got to get up early, walk Rufus again, and then back to my normal life.
That's what wives are for, Roger.
Well, that's what who?
The wives. They get up, they walk the dog.
No,
never mind.
Well, you sound great. You don't sound tired. No. And good to see you.
Thank you. Awesome to be with you guys. And you got a great lineup tonight.
I know.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised because you put it together.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's all Lisa. We're listening to Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Let's go back now and tune in to the conclusion to the Eddie Burke case. Here's Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
I left Manny's garage and headed for a phone booth. In the book, I found a listing for a Miss Nancy Casey. The address turned out to be a run-down apartment building on the west side. But there was nothing run-down about the girl who answered my knock. She stood in the doorway with her head tilted as if to say, "What can I do for you?" Only the hard look in her eyes seemed to say, "Don't get ideas, bud." And her mouth, all it said was,
"Well?"
"Are you Nancy Casey?"
Nancy's out. I'm a roommate.
"Do you expect her back soon?"
"Yeah, she shouldn't be long. Who are you?"
"Well, just a friend of hers. Mind if I come in and wait?"
"I guess not."
"Oh, thanks."
"I was just making some coffee."
"Well, smells good."
"Sit down, I'll get you a cup. Cream and sugar?"
"Oh, yes, thank you. Tell me, do you know many of Nancy's friends?"
"A few. Why?"
"Well, Nancy and I have a mutual friend. I'd like to get in touch with him."
"Oh. Here's your coffee."
"Thanks. The friend's name is Eddie Burke."
"Oh, yeah. I heard Nancy speak of him. Your coffee all right?"
"Huh? Yeah, fine."
"Yeah, Nancy talks about this Burke guy a lot."
"He ever come up to see her?"
"Oh, once or twice. I was always out, though." "Nancy should have been here before this. You have a date with her?"
"Oh, not exactly."
"She goes out with a lot of guys. Me, I like to stay home. Read a lot."
"Well, to each his own."
"Do you read a lot?"
"Only bubble gum wrappers."
"I read heavy stuff. Historical novels."
"Good for you."
"You want some more coffee?"
No, that's plenty. It's sort of hot in here, isn't it?"
"Is it?"
"Yeah. Real hot."
"It'll get hotter, Mr. Diamond."
"Diamond? How did you know my name?"
"Your picture's been in the paper. Like I say, I read a lot. You getting tired?"
Yeah, I... Oh, no."
"Oh, yes. The coffee. Shouldn't take long." "You dropped your cup, Mr. Diamond. Oh, you shouldn't try and get up. That drug takes effect fast. You just tire yourself."
You Casey?"
"That's right. I'm Nancy Casey. Find it hard to stay on your feet, Diamond?"
My head, I...
"You what? You can't even stand straight." "The big, strong detective."
It was a long, peaceful sleep. I kept having a falling sensation like I was floating down into a dark well, only there was no bottom. My head felt light, and finally, I don't know how much later, I seemed to stop floating. My senses came back, and I remembered Casey and the cup of coffee. And then I heard the pounding. At first, it sounded far away, but it got louder. I felt something in my hands. I tried to focus on it as the pounding continued. It was my gun. Then I heard the voice.
Open up! Police! Open up!
I looked across the room, but I didn't like what I saw. Eddie Burke was propped up in a chair, and there were two bullet holes in his head. And chances were the bullets had come from my gun.
Come on, open up, Ripley. It's the police.
I opened the door of Nancy Casey's apartment and admitted Lieutenant Walt Levinson homicide. And he had good reason to be there, for Eddie Burke was certainly a case for homicide. I brought Walt up to date, told him about Casey drugging me and my finding the gun in my hand. It's a good thing Walt was my friend. He believed me.
Well, Rick, it's been quite a day. Slugging, drugging. Now it looks like somebody's trying to frame you, but good.
Yeah. What brought you here anyway, Walt?
Anonymous phone call. Rick, somebody went to a lot of trouble to make it look like you killed Burke. Who was it? Casey Dame?
Yeah, but I don't think she's in this alone.
Who else?
Manny Warren.
Oh, Joe Legit, huh? How do you figure him in?
When I got here, Nancy Casey was expecting me. I was watching her when she fixed that coffee. I didn't see her slip in the drug. That means the drug was already in the cup.
Well, what's that got to do with... Oh, you think Manny tipped her off that you were coming over, huh?
Well, who else? Besides you, he's the only one who knew I was looking for her.
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on, let's have a talk with Warren.
No. You let me do it, Walt. You'll be busy here for a while anyway, and we'll have to prove Manny did it, not just accuse him.
Okay, you can give it a try. Only look, Bright Eyes, until you find out why Burke was killed and just how those characters all fit together, you're going to be on the spot. I still have to report it was your gun that killed Burke. Commissioner might not be happy when he hears I let you go.
Well, you hold off the commissioner, Walt. You should be used to that by now. I left the apartment and drove across town back to Manny Warren's garage. But I still couldn't figure the tie-in. Nancy Casey had lied to Burke, told him I had the package he was looking for. Then she drugs me and Burke is killed. And somewhere in this mess, Manny Warren was involved. But how? I quit thinking about that as I parked in front of the garage and went inside. Bill, the beefy character, was still the only man around.
You back again?
Well, either I am or you've got bad eyes. Tell Manny I want to see him.
He ain't here. Besides, it's closing time. Beat it.
Now, look, pal, don't beck with a runaround. Where's Manny?
I said he ain't here. You got no right coming in here after closing time. I got half a mind to throw you out.
You try it, and I'll scatter your half mind all over this floor.
Why, you...
Now, where's Manny Warren?
Let go. Let go of me. You're choking me. Manny ain't here, I tell you. Maybe he's home.
Where's home?
I don't know.
Now, where's home?
I don't know, I tell you. Maybe that's him now.
Okay. Enter the office and answer it. And if it is Manny, ask him where he is. And don't try anything or I'll make you look like I feel.
Manny ain't gonna like this.
Oh, shut up. Just answer that phone and hold the receiver up so I can hear, too.
Hello?
Bill, this is Casey. Is Manny there?
No, he ain't.
Well, I'll try his home, then. If he should come in, though, tell him I found a place I'll be staying in for a while. I'm registered at the Carter Hotel as Nancy Collins. You got that?
Yeah, I got it.
Well, that's as good as Manny's address. Come on, Bill.
Where you think you're taking me?
To that closet over there. That'll keep you out of the way temporarily.
Oh, no, you don't.
I dragged Bill into the closet, locked it, and then headed for the Carter Hotel. Nancy Casey could clear up a lot of questions, and I was in a good mood to play quizmaster. She was in room 312, and I took the elevator to the third floor. Then I reached her room, but before I could knock, I tried the door. It was locked. I threw my weight against it. I tried again, and the door flew open. No, it was quite a sight. Nancy Casey was writhing on the floor with a knife in her back. There was an open window, and climbing out of it onto the fire escape was Manny Warren. I scrambled after him. I was too close, and Manny knew it. He didn't try and run. Instead, he aimed a kick at my face as I climbed onto the fire escape.
Diamond, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Diamond, I'll...
Manny Warren took a long trip. down. I went back into the room. Nancy Casey was in a bad way, and I phoned for an ambulance.
Oh, it hurts, Diamond. It hurts.
Take it easy, honey.
Tried to kill me, too. I hadn't expected that.
Why, Casey? What's it all about?
Plates. Those counterfeited plates. All this over some stinking plates.
The package Eddie Burke thought I had?
Yeah. Eddie left it with me for safekeeping. I turned him over to Manny. He told me we'd clean up and leave town by the time Eddie got out. Only we didn't. Eddie came to me, wanted the plates.
So you lied and said you'd give them to me.
I needed time. I needed time to talk to Manny. He decided how to get rid of Eddie. When you came along, he told me to drug you. He'd handle the rest. Then I came here. I phoned him at home and told him where I was.
He didn't waste any time getting here.
Well, those stinking plates. They meant more to him than I did. Manny didn't trust me. This way nobody knew about the plates but him. He didn't trust me.
And in his business, you don't trust anyone. Now.
Oh.
I better keep quiet and lie still.
No! No, I gotta talk. Talking keeps my mind off the pain. Talk to me. Talk to me, Diamond. Talk.
All right, Nancy, I'll talk to you.
You swim, Diamond. I used to like swimming.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Hurts.
Lie still.
Pain. Oh, I never could stand pain.
Nancy. Well, at least it doesn't hurt anymore, does it, kid? Yes, Helen, dear?
You sure I can't get something to help your face?
Not unless you have an old gas mask handy.
You poor boy, I can't stand to see you all beaten up like this.
You can't stand it. Honey, it's my face.
Well, in its present form, I wouldn't brag about that.
Oh, now that's what I like, a gal to cheer you up after a hard day's work.
Hard day's work. Pistol whipped, drugged, framed. What a business. And what do you get out of it?
Oh, 100 a day and a very high mercurochrome belt.
Oh, I'm serious, Rick. Other men lead pleasant, quiet lives. They have nice jobs, nice homes, nice wives.
Ho, ho, ho. I knew this conversation was leading somewhere.
Well, while we're on the subject...
I'm not safe. Dear, I want you to hear the nicest song.
Oh, no.
I'll sing it just for you.
I might as well give up with my cold. You can sing louder than I can talk.
Oh, save for the skin of my vocal cords.
Just wait until one day you have laryngitis, coward.
How much do I love you? I'll tell you no lie. How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? How many times a day do I think of you? How many roses are sprinkled with dew? How far would I travel to be where you are? How far is the journey from here to a star? And if I ever lost you,
how much would I cry? How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky?
Oh, very nice.
Well, thank you, dear.
Only somehow that sweet song doesn't go with that battered face of yours.
No?
It's like Frankenstein whistling Mother McCree.
Oh, clever, clever. You know, I could take my bruises and leave.
Why don't you just snap off the lamp and then I won't notice them?
Helen, at times you are endowed with genius. Come here.
And have you catch my cold? Not in your life.
Oh, then let's turn the lights back on, dear. I can't stand to see all this darkness going to waste.
Tonight's Adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Dick Carr with music by Frank Worth. Virginia Gregg was heard as Helen Asher and Alan Reed as Lieutenant Walt Levinson. Others in the cast were Bill Conrad, Jeanette Nolan, and John Daner. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Listen next week for another exciting adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell. America is sold on the American Broadcasting Company.
That's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, February 8, 1952, The Eddie Burke Case, starring Dick Powell. And you know what, Lisa? Lots of great supporting actors in that show. Jeanette Nolan, John Daner, Virginia Gregg, William Conrad. That's quite the A-list supporting cast, as heard on ABC. I hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, Lisa brought a special guest with her, and it's so nice to see her. Auntie Joyce is here from Los Angeles. Auntie, how are you?
I feel great.
Yeah, you look great. You
Thank
sound
you.
Great.
Thank
and you know what? One thing, and I know it's warm in Los Angeles. I understand it's warm in Los Angeles. But when you come here to visit in the winter, you're going to need what Lisa gave you today, heat holders, right? You got some heat holders today?
She does. The blanket that I brought for you to cuddle up with in the green room when you get sleepy
Cuddly
is
one.
From heat holders.
Did
and
you
it
feel
is
how
gorgeous.
Soft it is?
It's very nice. Yeah.
Well, you should give her some heat holder gloves and hat.
Well, I thought you were going to be the big shot and order some goodies
you know what?
For us.
I need her address. I'll send them to
you
her in
You got
LA.
It.
You know, Heat Holders is one of our sponsors, Andy Joyce.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Heat Holders keeps you warm in the winter. Now, I know you live in L.A., but when you come here to visit, you're going to need Heat Holders. And the reason why Heat Holders is so great is because they have a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry, making Heat Holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. Heat Holders will pamper your feet. Heat Holders also makes hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love Heat Holders like Auntie Joyce. Give her Heat Holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com, use the code WGN, and you save 15% on your order. And if you order $25 or more of Heat Holder products, the shipping is free. We'll even ship it to Los Angeles. Remember to go to heatholders.com and use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com. And what do you, when you're in L.A., I know you can't hear WGN on the radio, but you can listen to us online, right? Yeah,
Carl, so, that's pretty good that you
yeah,
knew that.
I don't know how to do that exactly, but Lisa's very technical.
Yeah,
she can help
well,
you with that.
I'm the one here sitting behind the computer. Of course, the real technical one is Shantae in the booth.
Yeah,
but
yes.
Second to Shantae, I'm the one.
So why are you in town? You had a bar mitzvah.
We did.
And who was bar mitzvahed?
My niece and her son. And he was incredible. She was incredible, too.
Ah, that's
great.
She
put on party after party after party.
When was this bar mitzvah?
This whole weekend.
Oh, wow. The whole...
Well, it started Friday night.
The actual ceremony was on Saturday.
Two events on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Nice.
It's kind of like a wedding.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you came and saw us again. She was here maybe, what, a month ago or so?
Yeah.
You were in town?
She can't stay away from me.
That was for
just
a wedding.
Can't.
Yeah, well, I have a little bit of crush on Auntie Joyce, I'm telling you. I might have to come to L.A. and visit you.
I've got a brand new nephew. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's great.
You're terrific.
Oh, I love being... I have been an... I'm the adopted nephew now all of a sudden.
Sure.
I love it.
In your head, in your brain, you just keep wishing.
Well, we listened to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, but you know what we have in our next hour, Auntie?
Who's that?
We have Duffy's Tavern. Do you remember that show?
Oh, my God.
Duffy's
Tavern. Sure do.
Wow. Ed Gardner. He was, it was a lot like Cheers, you know, on television. It was a lot like Cheers because it was set in a bar and there was a lot of hijinks and fun and comedy. And so we have that in our next hour. Then after that, it's Suspense. You remember Suspense?
Oh, my God.
That was,
I sure
that was
do.
Also on television, Suspense. Not only radio, but TV.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All righty. It is hour two, 12:08 in the morning. It is happy Monday, Lisa. Happy Monday
happy
to
Monday.
You.
Happy Monday. Monday's a good day.
It is. And let's see. We have Duffy's Tavern in this hour. Oh, my gosh. I love Duffy. It's my brother's favorite radio show. He loves Duffy's
Well,
Tavern.
Then it must be good. No, I love Duffy's
Loves
Tavern,
it. And then in hour three, we have Suspense, which is one of the best of all the mystery shows. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Fighting With My Family about a former wrestler who makes a living performing around the country.
All right. What do they win?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Fantastic. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor starred in the movie The Breakup.
Hey, hot dog guy, can I get 6 hot dogs down here, please?
Right away.
And make it right, please. You know, with the mustard and the ketchup and the relish. And don't make me hit you up for more.
If you're going to make me a hot dog, Lisa, make sure it's got the mustard and the relish.
You don't like hot
all
dogs.
All that kind of stuff.
I know
no,
that.
I don't like hot
Nor
dogs.
Nor do I.
I do not.
So, can't fool with me.
I just don't like the taste of a hot dog. Maybe I'm not American. It's very un-American to not like a hot dog.
Well, you are clearly not
but
American.
We have that in common. We both don't like hot
no,
dogs.
No, I won't eat that.
No. All right. No. Well, who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Hey, hot dog guy, can I get 6 hot dogs down here, please?
Right away.
And make it right, please. You know, with the mustard and the ketchup and the relish. And don't make me hit you up for more.
I'm going to make you eat a hot dog, Lisa.
I wouldn't do it.
I'm going to make you, eat a
it
hot dog.
It would take $1 million.
That's a song. That's great. Roger will help me write the song. I'm going to
Roger will eat the hot dog.
Lisa, eat a hot dog.
It would, Auntie Joyce knows me. I've always been the pickiest of picky, and I would not eat a hot dog.
Wow.
So, and somebody even just texted in that her grandson doesn't eat hot dogs. He's allergic, but he still loves America,
well,
so it's okay.
Well, you said earlier that you're bribable. Could I bribe you to eat one?
It would take a lot of money,
oh,
more money right. than you have.
Probably.
And that's for sure. Anyhow, we have Elaine on the line. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. It's great to hear from you. Who is that actor?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is exactly
Vaughn,
right.
Yeah.
You are a winner, Elaine. You know what you've won? It's a Twilight Zone 4-CD set. It's produced by Carl, and it is hosted by none other than Stacey Keach, who is amazing. I know because I was in a couple of the Twilight Zone audio recordings.
More than a couple.
Just a couple. Yeah. but that is how we met. That's Carl
right.
and I met.
Yeah.
I came to audition for a Twilight Zone audio drama. So we've come full circle. But Elaine, you are a winner, so congratulations and thanks so much for listening in tonight.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Elaine. All right. She's a big winner. She wants some Twilight Zone CDs. And you know what, Lisa? It's time now for Duffy's Tavern. But we filmed a Facebook Live, did we not?
We sure did.
Was I in a Twilight Zone when you did that?
No,
or did
we actually
it really...
did it
oh,
for real.
Okay.
I posted it on our Facebook page,
yeah.
WGN
I guess
Radio
we did.
Theater.
Why wasn't...
And we asked each other one question. Mm-hmm. I won't tell you what it is. You have to check the video to find out. But I answered it one way, and Carl clearly answered it a different way.
And so how does someone watch that? What do they do?
They go to our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page.
Okay.
Make sure to like us, of course, on Facebook. And you'll just scroll down till you see the video, and you hit play.
You hit play.
And
okay.
It'll do it. It's about right. 3 minutes.
Let me write that down. Okay, you go to Facebook. Hang on a second. Okay, and then you go to Hollywood. What is
no,
it?
No, it's WGN,
oh, WGN
Radio Theater.
Okay.
And you scare me sometimes.
All right, and then what?
You hit play.
Even without a mask?
Yes, you do.
And you hit scroll down to our video.
Something like
and
that.
And then you hit play.
Got it.
All right, got it. And
we're
you
all
like
good.
And you like us while we're there. While
well,
you're there, right?
Of course they like
yeah,
us.
Why not?
Who wouldn't like us?
You know
us?
What they're gonna like? Duffy's Tavern. Now, this is going back to January 5th, 1951. Of course, this was a terrific series. Duffy's Tavern was really like a flea-infested dive on 3rd and 23rd streets in New York City, where the elite meet to eat. Now, Ed Gardner, he played Archie, the manager. He was always there because Duffy, the owner, was an absentee owner. He never showed up. He was never on the show. He would call in at the beginning of the show to see how things were going.
It's kind of like you.
Yeah,
just like, call it in.
How's
leave.
The radio show going, Lisa? And then, Ed Gardner ran the whole thing. Archie, the manager for Duffy. And then there were other characters: Eddie the waiter, Clancy the cop. There were guest stars. And on this particular episode, Vincent Price drops by. This was originally sponsored by RCA, Victor, and Anison. Here's a really fun broadcast, part one now of Duffy's Tavern.
NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anison for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. Here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern with our guest, Vincent Price, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Hey, guess who's coming down tonight? One of the finest actors of our day, Duffy. No. Not Dustin Farnham. No, not Hobart Bosworth. Duffy, I said our day, not yours. It's Vincent Price, Duffy. You know the guy, he plays the hate interest in them psychopathical murder dramas. You know, he's always the louse. Pictures, you know, when Price says, I think I'll take the head off, he ain't talking about a beer. Does all them dirty, nasty characters, though, in a real suave manner, sort of a soft-spoken loudmouth. With that, you know, that sweet, soothing kind of a voice. Don't know whether you should listen to it or pour it on a waffle. But in person, Duffy, he's different. He's every inch a gentleman with lots of savoir-faire, you know, the type of a guy you just know that he looks dignified in his long underwear. And how's the crowd here? Oh, it's the usual after-the-night court crowd. Huh? Well, look, I got an idea how we can swank up the place if you listen. Well, look, Duffy, who are the biggest spenders? Actors, see? And it's obvious why. You see, actors never have any dough. But they don't want nobody to know it. So, ergo, they spend it like mad. Yeah, well, my idea is to turn this joint into an exclusive private club where only actors can be members, see, like the Lambs Club. Yeah, well, we'll get Vincent Price and call it the Hams Club. Yeah. All right, I'll call you back, Duffy. Hey, Eddie, now look, I want this club to be different. Now, the first thing we do is to drill one of them peek holes in the door, huh?
Well, why does this hole in the wall need a hole in the door?
Eddie, every club's got one, so that sort of management can look out and see that nobody gets in but bona fide members.
Well, now, Mr. Archie, how are you going to get any actors to join this club?
By signing up Vincent Price. You see, Eddie, we've built a better mousetrap here, but in order to catch the right mice, we have to bait the trap with the proper piece of cheese. Namely, Vincent Price.
Mr. Archie, what could a man like Mr. Price do in a dump like this?
All the things he's accustomed to.
Not if he's accustomed to breathing.
Okay, so we'll air condition the joint.
We tried that once, and you remember what happened?
What?
The airwick crawled back into the bottle.
This time we'll hold it out with pliers. Now, what else do we need for the club? Oh, yeah, we'll need a game room.
Game room?
Yeah, that back room where we keep the pig's feet.
Yeah, that's pretty gamey, all right.
Yes, Miss Duffy?
I want to ask you something very important.
What is it?
If a fella says, dearest beloved, I love you more than the sun, the moon, the stars, more than life itself. Be mine, beautiful Miss Duffy. Be mine. Is that committing himself?
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Yes and no guy in his right mind would say it.
Well, it so happens that it was said to me by my boyfriend, Rodney Maximilian Haybinder.
Miss Duffy, you still interested in that bum?
Bum?
You heard me.
Archie, it so happens that at Barnaby's Barber College, Rodney is the only one to hold a safety award.
Really? A safety award?
Yes. He's the one man in his class that they trust to singe sideburns without the professor standing by with a fire extinguisher.
What'd they give him for the reward? A hot towel with his name lathered on it? Are you kidding, Miss Duffy? This guy really goes to a barber college?
You think I run around with illiterates? Here, look at this letter.
Let me see. Darling Miss Duffy, I thought about you all today at shaving class. Look, this letter is a little too mushy for me. Maybe you better read it. What happened to him at shaving class?
Well, let's see. So, dearest, the professor gave me 4 demerits just for a tiny nick a customer noticed on his earlobe. And, darling, I'm really surprised he noticed it, as the earlobe was on the floor at the time. Then, in my confusion, I made matters even worse by giving the customer somebody else's earlobe.
I don't know what kind of a barber this guy is, but he certainly writes beautiful love letters. Huh? Miss Duffy, you know, you're really a lucky girl. It's a lucky thing that the guy didn't go to a guillotine college. Customers be walking around without heads.
Hello, Arch.
Oh, hiya, Finnegan. Oh,
hello, Finnegan.
Good evening, Miss Duffy. My, you look pretty.
Thank you, Finnegan.
Every day you look better. Yesterday you looked better than the day before, and today, you look like the morning after.
Well, thank you.
Oh, don't mention it. See, Arch, I hear you're starting a new club.
That's right.
Is it going to have dames in it?
No, Finnegan, no dames. It's going to be strictly non-sextarian.
So in that case, I think I'll just stick to the YWCA.
Finnegan, the YWCA is for women only.
It is?
Yeah.
No wonder they keep throwing me out of the steam room.
Look, Finnegan, the club that I'm going to have here is just going to be for actors. But if you'd like to join, I'll use my influence to get you in.
No, thanks, Arch. I'm too particular.
What do you mean, particular?
You think I'd join a club that takes people like me?
I think you got a point there, Finnegan.
Besides, I belong to too many clubs already.
What clubs do you belong to?
Oh, the Lonely Hearts Club, the Al Flairden for President Club, That was disbanded, by the way. Nobody told me why. Oh, then I belong to the Book of the Month Club.
You belong to the Book of the Month Club?
Yeah. I have a special membership. They just sent me the pictures.
Wow. That's a very good club, that Book of the Month Club. Do you attend their meetings?
It's a funny thing, Arch. They don't have meetings.
Really?
Nope. No meetings, no parties, no ball team. Personally, I think the whole thing is a scheme to sell books.
If you'd like to have some fun, why don't you go over to that stove in the kitchen and stick your head in the oven? Maybe your brains will expand.
Good idea, Raj. I'll set the oven for a slow broil.
Good. And every 5 minutes, I'll come in and baste you. Now, Eddie, did you start fixing up the game room?
Not yet.
Well, when you do, I got a terrific idea. See, we'll get a dartboard and some darts so that the actors can really have a lot of fun with themselves.
How?
We'll cover the dartboard with pictures of their agents. Well, Eddie, the game room looks pretty good here, except for one thing.
What's that?
I don't think our more conservative members will like this picture of September Morn. Tell you what you do.
What?
Put a hatchet in her hand and we'll call it Custer's Last Stand. Now, let's see. What else does the club need?
Members?
Members? Oh, don't worry, Eddie. With Vincent Price joining up, we'll have all the actors from Hollywood dropping in.
Well, if they're going to drop, this is the place to do it.
Hello? Oh, hello, Duffy. You've been thinking it over and you want to join the Actors Club? Duffy, you an actor? You get strange fright when you have to call out your floor in a crowded elevator. But, Duffy, I'm telling you, the place is strictly for actors. Now, look, holler and take it off for the burlesque show. Don't make you no actor. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll compromise you. I'll make you the chairman of the membership committee. But remember, no fair blackballing, guys, just because they ain't Irish. Okay, Duffy. Now, Eddie, I got to get this dart game set up. Where's the pictures of them agents?
Right here.
Yeah, the agents' pictures, yeah. You know, they ain't going to be easy targets.
Why not?
Even in the pictures, their eyes keep shifting back and forth.
That's the first portion of Duffy's Tavern, January 5th, 1951, starring Ed Gardner, special guest Vincent Price. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Lisa Wolf.
Earl Amari.
Boy, when Bill Curtis says your name, it just rolls.
I just saw Bill Curtis this week.
Yeah, how was he? Did he ask about me?
He didn't. No, I feel like he thinks I'm a stalker because every time I see him, I introduce myself again, and I feel like he never knows who I am. And he always says he does, but
he didn't like
I'm pretty sure he does.
How I'm doing or...
No, he just focuses...
He likes the show or...
Well, you know...
Sure he didn't say Barl or something like that and it sounded like Carl?
No, he definitely... as soon as I saw him, he said, oh, and how's Carl?
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
That's exactly how it went. How's Carl?
Me and Bill, we go way
Yeah,
way
well,
back.
He's got...
We go back to Anchorman days.
Right, Hank the Anchorman. He's got one great voice,
I will tell you.
It's almost as good as Rogers.
I just think he's fantastic.
He sure is.
Yeah.
And Roger's here.
Roger's fantastic,
He has come down from the newsroom to say hello.
Right.
It's always a treat to have him in the studio.
All right, well, but we have to get into Duffy's Tavern, otherwise we're going to be late. All right, let's get back now to the conclusion of Duffy's Tavern.
Wait a minute, Eddie, did you notice that?
A what?
A dart just hit that agent right in the middle of his package.
Then our first actor must be here.
He is. The spotlight, if you please.
Well, it's Vincent Price. Well, good evening, Mr. Price. Leave me W welcome to this distinguished establishment. And furthermore...
Thank you, Archie, and may I say...
Just a minute. Leave me further say, Mr. Price, that seldom have we behooved such an august presentiment to these confines. And further besides...
Now, Archie, if you don't mind, I'd like to...
Please. I ain't through. The man is in love with the sound of his own voice. Now, let me see. Oh, and feel assured, Mr. Price, that your visit is a bereavement from which we will not soon recover. If there's anything you desire, or call.
There's just one thing I would like.
What?
An edgewise.
An edgewise?
Yes, yeah, so I can put a word in.
Okay, what's the word?
Goodbye.
Goodbye, but you just got here.
Can you think of a better time to leave?
Leave, but you ain't had anything to eat yet.
What? Eat here in this moldy mocambo? I'd sooner die.
There is no sooner way.
Quiet, Eddie. Well, Vincent, I'm glad I'm finally meeting up with you, you know, especially after so many of our friends have said that we resemble each other.
Our friends say that?
Yeah, lots of them.
Then let us be known by our enemies.
I'm glad to see that you're a philosopher about it, Vincent. I didn't get sore neither. But, you know, as I look at the both of us, I can see the resemblance. Take our builds. We're about the same height, and what do you weigh?
About 190.
Well, there you got about 90 pounds on me. Of course, me shoulders is a little narrower than yours.
Archie, they only seem narrower because your ears stick out so far.
Well, that's logical. But you believe me, Vincent, you darken me up a little, give me an hour with a curler, dab a little makeup on me, and I'd look enough like you to spit at your image. But there's one way in which you and me is different.
Hmm? Thank heavens for that. What is it?
Addiction.
Oh, yes, of course. Our addiction.
Yeah, yours is lousy. Yeah, me, I like to use big words, you know?
Big words, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can think of one right now.
Oh, yeah? What's yours?
I hesitate to tell you.
I bet I can think of an even longer one. In fact, I started using big words the minute I learned how to talk.
How old were you when you learned how to talk?
19. See, and by that time I was already in college.
You went to college?
How do you think I got so cultured?
You are cultured?
You don't believe it? Recite some Shakespeare to me. I'll show you how intelligent I can look.
Well, I doubt it, Archie, but you arouse my curiosity. Very well. He jests at scars that never felt a wound. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Hey, George.
Yeah, Finnegan.
Who's the mushmouth?
What's the matter? You sore because someone stole your forehead?
Hey, Arch, can I punch this guy in the nose?
Please, no. Just reply in a gentlemanly manner that you never had a forehead.
Okay. Look, bud, I never had a forehead. Arch, now can I punch him in the nose?
Finnegan, please, no fisticuffs. Mushmouth here happens to be a gentleman. Perhaps I better introduce you. Vincent Price, Clifton Finnegan. Eyebrow, no brow.
Okay, bud. Let's shake hands and be friends.
Isn't there a more sanitary way?
Hey, I remember you. I seen you in that picture, The Three Mosquitoes.
And again, that's the Three Musketeers, not mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah? I seen it in an open-air movie in Jersey.
Oh, and I thought all that slapping was applause.
Then again, next time you go to an open-air movie, instead of popcorn, you better take DDT.
It don't work, Arch.
What's wrong with it?
Stuff tastes lousy.
Did you ever try citronella with a scoop of ice cream?
Hey, Bud, ain't you a little nuts?
Look, Vincent, you'll have to excuse Finnegan. You see, just before he was born, his mother had a bad case of fright.
Well, what happened?
His father walked into the room. Well, at least you met the guy.
Hey, Arch.
Oh, good heavens, he's back in a wig.
This is Miss Duffy, man's best friend.
Well, Miss Duffy, I can't tell you how happy it makes me to have this opportunity of meeting you.
This guy's a better actor than I thought he was.
Oh, shut up, Archie. Oh, Mr. Price.
Yes?
I'm not doing anything tonight.
That does not surprise me.
A chance to finish.
He was hoping he wouldn't give you a chance to start.
Archie, please. What I was wondering, Mr. Price, is whether you would like a date with me tonight.
Oh, but Miss Duffy, what about my wife?
I'll let her get her own date.
Oh, but I can't possibly go out tonight.
Why not?
Just look at this horrible haircut some idiot gave me.
This is a barber college job if I ever seen one. What'd the guy do, cut it or chew it off?
Now, Archie, that's not the worst part. I also got a shave, and just look at these earlobes.
What about them?
They don't match.
Oh, so you're the one who caused all that trouble for Rodney.
Look, Miss Duffy, please, someone would like to see you outside.
Who?
Me. Get out of here. Now, Vincent, leave us get to the point. We're turning Duffy's into a high-class actors club, you see, very ulterior. And we'd like you to be the first member.
The first and only?
Well, not the only member. After you find out how wonderful and exclusive the club is, we'll naturally expect you to suck in some of your friends. Well, what do you say to our new Lambs Club? No kidding, Vince. This club's gonna be wonderful. Just picture. A warm, luxurious room. A roaring hearth. In the fireplace. Low lights, you know, and soft dive-ins. Them little day beds. Pictures of great actors hanging on a wall. Edwin Booth, Sarah Bernhardt, Richard Mansfield, Abbott and Costello. Maury Amsterdam. All of them.
What about my picture?
Your picture, yeah. I think I have the very place to put it.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh. You ain't heard me out. We'll hang it in a place of honor. Under the pig's feet.
Under them? Don't I even get top billing?
Why should you? After all, don't forget the pig's feet have been here longer than you have. Well, what do you say? Will you join if I can get you in?
Well...
Good. Oh, just excuse me. Hello? Hello, Duffy. We got good tidings. Vincent Price wants to join the club. What? Duffy, I can't do that. No, you can't with a guy like Price. Okay. Mr. Price.
What?
The chairman of the membership committee desires you to audition.
Audition?
Yeah. You see, this club is only for actors, and the chairman has certain doubts.
Well, hasn't he seen any of my pictures?
That's what gave him the doubts.
Tell him to go soak his head.
Right now, he's too busy with his feet. Now, what do you say? Will you give the audition?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Why not?
Well, as I said, if I auditioned for that horrible Duffy, I'd be a bigger ham than I think I am, and I couldn't be.
Don't worry, you are. So what do you say? Duffy's listening.
Well, all right. I'll start off with a recitation.
Good. Why don't you give him a little of that Shakespeare, huh?
Very well. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Hold it, man. Hello? Okay, Duffy. Not to be. Look, Vince, don't you know no songs or jokes?
Yes, I know some jokes.
Well, go ahead and spring one. Duffy likes jokes.
Oh, well, very well. Here's a very funny one.
Great so far.
Well, it goes like this. You see, a little boy left his home, and he didn't come back for 6 years. Uh-huh. When he returned, he knocked on the door, and his mother said, "Hello, Cookie." So the little boy said, "Why do you call me Cookie?" And the mother answered, "I call you Cookie because you've been a wafer so long." A wafer so long. Do you get it, Archie?
I got it, but I don't think it's going to stay with me.
Well, I know an even funnier one.
Impossible. How does this one go?
Well, it goes like this. Pat says to Mike, he says, "I just received a letter from my sister. She must be very ill." So Mike says to Pat, "Really? How do you know?" So Pat replies, "Well, she started the letter by saying, 'I'm in Chicago sick.'" Oh, Archie, I'm afraid I messed it up. I should have said, "I'm in Chicago ill."
Mr. Price, it just happens that that joke just reached Chicago dead. Better tell another one, Vincent, but not quite so funny this time. I don't want to split any spleen.
Well, Archie, do you think Duffy knows the one about the woman who says, "I just bought a dog," and the man says, "Spit?" And the woman says, "Nobody drools a little."
Hello? Okay, Duffy. Well, Vince, so much for jokes. What else can you do?
Well, I can sing a bit.
You can sing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take a try at it.
Well, very well. Stand back now. You made me what I am today. I hope you're satisfied. You dragged and dragged me down until the hope within me died. You shattered each and every dream.
Oh,
you fooled me from
Vince.
The start.
Vince.
The curse of an
age. Hello? What? Well, how would you like to be standing right here next to it? Huh? Okay, I'll tell him. Mr. Price.
Yes?
The chairman of the membership committee has decided your case in the affirmative. You're out. Furthermore, the chairman has asked me to dissolve the club, so you have earned a rare distinction, Mr. Price.
Well, what do you mean?
This is the first time in history that an entire club has resigned from a member.
Listen again next week, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. Listen tomorrow evening for The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, the Saturday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
Next, it's William Bendix and the Life of Riley on NBC.
I'm really trying to find a cure for my neuritis and neuralgia.
Yeah, you should take Roma wine.
Yeah, what was it that would take care of neuritis and neuralgia? I think it was Anacin. I think he said Anacin would take care of neuritis and neuralgia.
That would make sense.
One of them's like a nervous...
Nerves.
Well, you know what? Vince Lombardi's here. He's a doctor. He might know. What is neuritis and neuralgia? Do you know?
I do.
Oh, see? He knows. Of course.
So, algia.
I brought my own doctor. Yeah.
You need one.
Because
I'm not sure he's the right kind for you.
No, he's not the right kind.
You're not my specialty.
So, what is neuritis, first of all?
Okay, itis means inflammation.
Okay.
So, neuritis is inflammation.
And Anacin would work on that because it's an anti-inflammatory, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Huh? Are you impressed?
Oh, you're good.
First of all, how many syllables?
In what?
Anti-inflammatory.
Those are two separate words.
Okay, go ahead. What else, Vince?
Okay, and then
and neuralgia.
The algia part means pain.
Ah.
So pain in the nerve.
You know what? Vince studied for almost as long as you did.
Get out of here. Nobody has studied in school as long as I have.
How many years in school to learn to be a doctor, Vince? It was a long time, right?
Yeah. After college, 4 years of med school, and then 5 years for residency.
Yeah.
And then I did a fellowship. So that was 1 year.
So you can't tease me anymore, Carl. Sorry.
Wow. I'm surrounded by smart people, which brings me way, way down.
Well, that's a smart thing to do.
I know. I do surround myself with smart people. So that's good.
I'll take it.
I learn constantly from Vince and from Lisa.
Mostly from me, though.
But I can teach you a little bit about classic radio. Although Vince knows his classic radio. You know that. I mean, you know the whole story.
I do. I can't listen to it again.
You can't listen to the story again. All right.
Yeah, but have you ever heard me tell it?
Again.
All right. We got to take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
So, Carl, it's a little cold in the studio tonight. So I brought my heat holders blanket.
Smart.
To share or not to share with everyone, because heat holders makes the warmest socks, blankets, hats, gloves, you name it. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it? Heat holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's so soft to the touch and brushed on the inside. It traps warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry. It makes heat holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. They pamper your feet. Heat holders makes hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. I should take a picture of us wrapped up in my heat holders blanket, which I won't share with Carl. Give someone you love heat holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN. Save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. Remember, go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com.
All right, I will. And I'm going to be getting a lot of my friends and family stocking stuffers from Heat Holders.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Just the right time of year.
Check out their website, heatholders.com, and make sure you use the code WGN, just like Lisa said. All right, when we come back from the news, it's hour three, which means it's time for suspense. Eddie Bracken in a really, really good mystery story called The Visitor, going back to 1944 for that. Good cast with him as well.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. And it is hour three. Thanks for staying up late with us, folks. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. That's 6 hours a week. Huh? Did the math. Pretty good, Holly. Math was one of my better subjects in school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You have your abacus?
I have my abacus. Good. I carry it with me. I have a wheelie trailer with it. What do you call it? A wagon. I put the abacus in the wagon.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
Put the abacus in the wagon. And I pull it.
Do you know what an abacus is?
Yeah, it's a big, giant thing.
Oh, well, no, there's small ones,
from
too.
Mine's from the Stone Age.
Gotcha.
So it's very big. Good. Giant boulders on it. In this hour, you know what we have?
I sure do. We've got suspense from May 11th, 1944.
You know what we have next week when we come back
I know
here?
That, too.
Next week,
we've got Arch Obler's plays.
Yeah.
We've got Escape and Dragnet. That's on Saturday night. On Sunday, we've got the Burns and Allen show, Boston Blackie, which people have been asking for like crazy, and the Hall of Fantasy.
Right. And you know what, folks? You can always get our schedule on our website. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. Our website's there. But it's also posted in the Nostalgia Digest, which is a wonderful quarterly magazine that is put out by Steve Darnall. And he has a special offer. You can get 1 year, I believe it's $17.95, but you can get 2 years for $30, and you get a $28 Twilight Zone 4-CD set with it, right?
Right.
Just go to NostalgiaDigest.com to learn more about it, NostalgiaDigest.com. So there's ways to get our schedule.
I also post it on Facebook every week around Tuesday or Wednesday. You can check out our Facebook page. The schedule should be there. And you never know what else is there. Like tonight, we posted a Facebook Live video, so
yeah,
check that out.
That's
it's
right.
A lot
there's
of fun.
A Facebook Live video of us up there. All right, in this hour, it is Suspense, and it's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming animated film Isle of Dogs, about five dogs who are fed up until a boy ventures to the island to search for his dog.
Okay, what did they win?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Very nice. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Here's a hint. This actor played Ned Fleming in Why Him?
Stephanie now wants us to fly out to meet the man for the holidays. Everything that's going on here, that's the last thing I want to do.
All right. Who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Stephanie now wants us to fly out to meet the man for the holidays. Everything that's going on here, that's the last thing I want to do.
Kevin, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Who is that?
Bryan Cranston.
That is right. Bryan Cranston is the right answer. And to me, he will always be Heisenberg.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the man. So anyhow, congratulations, Kevin. You have won the Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. And they are amazing. You actually can't buy the CDs. You can only digitally download.
Oh,
so this
great.
Is sort of a special thing. We're thrilled to give it to you. And it's hosted by Stacey Keach. So we hope that you enjoy that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. All right.
Thanks.
And it's time, Lisa, for Suspense, one of the best mystery shows of the golden age of radio. And I was talking to Auntie Joyce about this earlier. You know, there were really two shows that had all the big stars. One of them was the Lux Radio Theater, and the other one was Suspense. All the major movie stars wanted to appear on both of those shows. And you know why? Because they not only had the best writers, but they had the best directors and the best supporting casts. I mean, it was a first-class production, both of those shows. And they were both on CBS, by the way. And Suspense had incredible writers, incredible directors, directors like in this particular episode, I'm trying to see here who, okay, it was William Spear. Now, William Spear was one of the top guys. He also produced and directed The Adventures of Sam Spade and some other great shows. In this episode, Eddie Bracken steps before the CBS microphones in a show called The Visitor. This was sponsored by your favorite libation, Roma Wines. I know you're a big.
You couldn't even say that with a straight
you're
face.
You're a big Roma wines drinker.
I've got some out in the green room right now.
Yeah, and this is from May 11th, 1944. Here's part one of Suspense.
Roma Wines presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you the Paramount star currently being seen in Miracle of Morgan's Creek, Mr. Eddie Bracken. Mr. Bracken appears tonight not as the exponent of comedy, as which he is so deservedly noted, but as a boy over whose head hung dark clouds of suspicion and who was involved in a particularly heartless crime. And so with The Visitor and with the performance of Eddie Bracken as a young man who called himself Bud Owen, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Hamburger steak, well done. Burn a cat or a crisp.
It was around 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. I was right in my usual groove, counterman at Al's Coffee Pot, Route 22 out of Baltimore. Not a bad job for a green guy, $18 a week and my meals. But I was aiming to be a short order cook when I really got the hang of things.
Three on the blue plate.
Of course, I'd only been in the diner a couple of months. Well, as I say, it was the usual afternoon, not especially busy, but busy enough.
No kidding, Mac. Where's that Westerman?
Here you are. What'll you have, mister?
Ham on rye and a cup of coffee.
Coming right up. Ham on rye, draw one.
Look, kid, I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, what about?
Have you got a minute?
I guess so. Hey, Al, take the counter, will you? I'm going to have some coffee.
Okay.
So what's on your mind, mister?
I'm looking for someone.
Yeah?
Your name wouldn't be Bud Owen, would it?
They call me Bill Duncan around here.
That's not what I asked.
So?
I'm looking for a boy named Bud Owen.
Well, what about him?
Disappeared from his home about 3 years ago. A boy from my town. He'd be about your age now, about 18?
17.
That's it. Well, his folks have been worried sick about him. Everyone else gave him up for dead. Then I heard you were working here. Bud?
Yeah? Who told you?
No one told me. I got a note, anonymous. You didn't write it, did you?
No, I didn't write it.
You know, I think I'd have recognized you anyway. You're a lot taller, of course, and you look older.
Yeah, anyone would, wouldn't they?
Same ears, though.
I call them wings.
That's a good one. Know who I am, of course. Mac Burrow. Used to be chief of police.
Oh, pleased to meet you again, Mr. Burrow.
Well. Bud Owen. A lot of know-it-alls are sure going to be surprised.
Surprised? At what?
Why, to see you. Edgerton is certain to a man that you're feeding fishes off White's Pier. And when they see you, boy, I can't wait.
Look, Mr. Burrow, just what is your proposition?
Why, Bud, I want you to come home again with me.
Oh?
Of course, things have changed some in 3 years, but not too much. If you take it easy, if you have a friend to help you over the rough spots, you'll feel right back at home in no time.
I see.
This way, you're depriving yourself of everything a boy could want. Good home, lovely parents. Yeah, wealthy parents.
You make it sound kind of nice at that, Mr. Burrow.
And, Bud, did you know that your father has offered a $10,000 reward for anyone who finds you?
No, I didn't know that.
Don't you think you ought to come home, Bud?
Maybe I should.
And think of your folks. Think how your poor mother suffered.
Yeah.
Think how happy it'd make him.
Well, Mr. Burlap, if you really think it'll be all right.
Why, sure it will. It may be a little tough at first, all the excitement, people staring at you, but that won't last long. You got to expect some excitement.
Oh, I suppose it was an event, having a hometown boy drowned.
Drowned, boy? They thought you were murdered.
And
And so began the series of events which were to bring a boy called Bud Owen back to Edgerton to take up a new life with the family which had believed him dead for 3 years. Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines present Eddie Bracken, whom you have heard in the prologue to The Visitor by Carl Randall and Leon Zugsmith. Tonight's tale of suspense. And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage our star, Eddie Bracken, as Bud Owen in The Visitor, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
After I talked to Mr. Burrell for an hour or so, the whole thing sounded pretty darn good. I quit my job at Al's Coffee Pot the next afternoon and met Mr. Burrell at the station. We took the 5 o'clock train for Edgerton. On the way, Mr. Burrell gave me the lowdown on what had been going on in the town for 3 years. How the town thought I was murdered and how my mother and David Cunningham, my stepfather, just wouldn't give up hope that I was still alive. And he told me how my mother hadn't changed anything in my room. She was so sure I'd come back. Although she bought new stuff for the rest of the house, new rugs and a couch, things like that, Mr. Burrell described it so plain I could almost see it. Well, by the time we got to Edgerton, I was feeling pretty sad for my mother. And when I stood on the dark front porch with Mr. Burrell, it was a peach of a warm summer night. I thought if I could make her happy, even if it was tough on me, it was worth... Well, it was worth a try.
Brace yourself, youngster. This is it.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay, Mr. Burrell.
Is you, Burrell?
Yeah. And here's Bud.
Hello. Bud. Hello, Father.
Come in. Come in, Bud. Here, let me have your suitcase. Is your mother, Bud?
Bud.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Bud.
This time it's really Bud, Judith. He's come back to us.
Oh, Bud. Bud.
It's all right, Judith.
Oh, my big baby. Why, you're so tall, I can hardly kiss you.
Well, now, come, Judith. Let's go into the living room. Come along, Burrell.
Oh, I always knew I'd be silly when you came back. Here, let me push your hair down.
Oh,
Now you look more like my Bud.
Gosh, I wouldn't have recognized this room. Isn't that couch new?
Mm-hmm. And the rugs and drapes.
I don't know how we'll ever be able to thank you, Burrell.
Well, I see in Judith so happy as a reward, you know.
Oh, yes, that reminds me. Drop into my office tomorrow, Burrell, and I'll take care of that other, more tangible reward.
Mother, I don't know how to begin. I mean to tell you how sorry...
Oh, don't tell me anything, darling. Nothing matters except that you're back.
That's the spirit, Judith.
Only your right hand, Bud. It's all bandaged.
Oh, that's nothing. I burned it while working in the diner. It's nothing, Mother. Oh.
Well, folks, it's been a long day for an old man. I guess I'll run along.
Right away, Mr. Burrell? Why, you just got here.
You'll be seeing plenty of me, Bud. Right now, though, you should want to be getting acquainted with your folks again. Yes. I'll see you tomorrow, Dave. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Well, have you noticed, Judith, how deep Bud's voice is now?
Yes, it was just a little pipe when he left. But it was beginning to break, wasn't it, Bud?
Gosh, I guess so. It must have sounded pretty awful.
And he shaves, David. Every day, Snooker.
Well, gosh, not quite.
Really, David, I don't think that's so funny.
Well,
that sounds like Ellen. Isn't that nice? Let her in, David.
Yeah.
Ellen Woods...
Why, who else, Bud?
Does she live next door?
Why, of course, Bud. The Woods have always lived there.
Hello, Ellen.
Ellen, dear, we have such a surprise.
Angel, it's simply fabulous. Let me kiss you, you love.
Ouch, take it easy.
Well, Bud, you're a gigantic, irregular beanpole. Oh, Bud, I can't wait for Joe to see you.
Joe?
I called him as soon as I heard he's coming over here. It's all right, Mrs. Cunningham.
Oh, of course, Ellen. I'd forgotten. It'll mean so much to Joe. You know about Joe, Bud.
Oh, yes. Mr. Burrell told me. I didn't know before.
Yes, this town's going to have a lot to make up to that young man.
My folks wouldn't let me see Joe, Bud.
Yeah?
Well, naturally, they thought, after all, Joe was the last person who saw you, and then he admitted you'd quarreled.
But your mother and I never had a moment's doubt, Bud. I'm thankful for that.
Oh, that's Joe now. Joe, it's true. Bud's here.
Well, Ellen phoned. I ran all the way. She said... You.
Yeah, Joe, it's me.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, pal, I hear I owe you an apology or something.
Skip it, pal.
Joe, we know how hard it's been for you. Only now it's over.
Well, it didn't matter, Mrs. Cunningham. I learned to put up with a lot.
Yeah, well, Judith, dear, let's go upstairs. Let's give the young folks a chance to be by themselves.
Well, all right, David. But don't stay up too long, Bud. You still need lots of sleep.
Yeah, I won't, Mother.
And don't forget to turn off the light.
No.
Good night, children.
Good night, Miss Cunningham.
Good night,
Mr. Cunningham. Well, what'll we do? Cut a rug or chew the fat?
Suit yourself.
Joe, don't talk that way to Bud. You might remember he's my friend. He certainly was yours.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he was. Look, Joe, I can see how you saw it at me, but don't take it out on Ellen.
Kindly don't stop messing between Ellen and me.
Joe, please.
Okay. Do I have to make a speech? So you're home now, Bud. I'm the last one to kick, but when you toss it all off by saying you owe me an apology or something, maybe it's not easy to remember we were friends.
I didn't know what to say.
I know I tried to remember we were friends, and the whole town was sure I killed you. I tried to remember it when the draft board listed me as undesirable because they thought I was guilty. I even tried to remember we were friends when, for 3 years, people crossed the street so they wouldn't have to speak to me. People got up and walked out of the room when I came in, and then...
Gosh, Joe, I didn't realize that. I am sorry, Joe, honest.
Now listen, Joe. You should be the first one to walk around the town with Bud. Right tomorrow morning. And if you'd both like it, why, I'll go with you.
Well, it's all right with Bud.
Oh, is it? Boy, I'm gonna need company.
Then it's a date.
Okay, No kidding, Bud. I'm glad you're home, fella. No hot feelings?
Oh, gosh, no, Joe.
So long, Bud.
Bye, Bud.
So long.
Bud?
Yes, Mother?
Are you coming up to bed now, dear?
Yeah, I might just as well.
You know, Bud, I've been thinking. The funniest thing...
What? What's that, Mother?
Do you realize you've never even asked about Trixie?
Trixie? That's right, I didn't.
After all, she was your dog.
Oh.
You know what they say about a boy and his dog. Poor thing, when you didn't come back, she just wandered off.
Gee, that's tough, all right.
And you didn't even ask about her. But I guess you can't be expected to remember everything.
No, I guess I can't remember everything. My mother kissed me goodnight. I went upstairs to my room, and it was just like Mr. Burrow told me it would be. Everything seemed to have gone all right so far. I undressed and turned out the lights, but before I got into bed, I locked the door just in case.
That is the first portion of The Visitor on Suspense, starring Eddie Bracken. More after these words. Look at this, Lisa. Right on the money. 1:30 in the morning. We're going to go to news.
That's how we do it here.
I mean, it's like, wow.
We're like, wow.
I think we should just talk for a little bit so we can be a little late. I don't want to be right on time.
We're probably the only people that are ever on time.
Being right on time. I don't want that to ever happen. It is time for the news. When we come back, it's the conclusion to Suspense.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
God, what I wouldn't give to have those pipes right there. You know?
Yeah.
Bill Curtis.
Yeah, you're close. Second,
I know.
You're second, right behind Bill Curtis.
How many octaves deeper is he, do you think?
I don't know.
He's like this. Lisa, Carl Amari, and Lisa Wolf. And I'm up here. Carl Amari.
You sound just like him, really.
Wolf.
If I close my eyes, I can't really tell if it's you or Bill Curtis
speaking.
That's close.
Coming, mother.
That's
about
closer.
Where I am. And then you got Bill Curtis down here.
Oh, he's good. But he actually speaks like that.
I know.
Talk to him.
I have to make a voice. And I don't even when I'm making the voice, I don't sound good. But he's like, it just rolls off.
I'm guessing you know a little more about classic radio.
Maybe that's
so we
why,
all have our strengths, you know.
Maybe that's why he's Bill Curtis and I'm
Carl Amari.
Yeah, but I mean, oh gosh.
It's a good.
What I wouldn't give for those.
It's a good strong name.
For those pipes. It is. It's a good appetizer. I like that. Calamari. All right, so we're listening to Suspense. You ready for the conclusion?
Yep, let's do
Eddie
it.
Eddie Bracken in The Visitor. Here's the second portion, the conclusion of Suspense.
Gosh, I guess I'm late for breakfast.
That's all right, darling. We know you needed the sleep.
Sit right in your old place, bud.
Yeah, sure.
Well, your mother and I have been mooning over old pictures of you, son.
Bud, except for the ears and something around the eyes, you've changed so that I can hardly recognize you. Look, here's the last picture before you went away. Why, it's almost frightening the way you've grown.
Judith, dear, you wouldn't want the boy to be a midget, would you?
Well,
sure, he's taller, but look at the hair there and the way he stands.
I sure was a goon. Boy, you should have been glad to get rid of me.
And look, Bud, what else I found. All your school compositions from the first grade on. Here's one you wrote on Alexander the Great.
Ouch, Mother, don't be careless with those things. I'll die of blushing.
Why, Bud, I think this was very good for your age. You were barely 14 when you wrote it. See, it's marked B, so it can't be so terrible.
Well, your least little scribble is a great thing to your mother. Well, I'd better get off to the office. Drop in to see me if you have time, Bud.
Why, sure, Father, I'll do that.
Bye, Judith, honey. I'll be home for dinner.
Goodbye, David. Now, how about some hot coffee, Bud?
Yes, thanks.
There, Snooky. Bud, there's something important I want to discuss with you. It's about my will.
Your will?
Well, you know how your father, well, David, was about my money, Bud. He never wanted to touch it or even to have me put him in my will. He's so proud about things like that, and I do have so much more than he ever will.
Sure, I remember. How much money is it anyway?
Why, you know, Bud, there's about $150,000 your grandfather left.
Yeah.
Then there are those four houses on Elm Street that Aunt Carolyn left and the income from them. I haven't used any of it, so it amounts to quite a lot by now.
Gosh, yes, it must at that.
Well, after you left, even though David didn't want me to, I changed the will, leaving everything to him.
Why, sure, that sounds fine to me.
But now that you're back, I think the best thing would be to just turn it all over to you now. Set up a trust fund. You could use the income when you start to college, and later maybe you'll want to set yourself up in some kind of business.
But,
and I know it will please David.
But, Mother, gee whiz, it's swell of you, but don't you think you should wait?
Wait? For what, darling?
Well, until you know me better. I wouldn't know what to do with all that money, and I might mess things up.
Why, silly, the bank takes care of everything. It always has for me. Now, all you have to do is sign these papers here.
Sign them? But I can't, Mother. You see my hand, the bandage.
Oh, isn't that a shame? Yes, I forgot that you couldn't write.
Yeah, well,
it'll
be all right in a couple of days, so I can take the bandage off then.
Oh, somebody's whistling for you, Bud. My, that sounds like old times.
It's Ellen and Joe. They're going to take me around and show me the town. Well, I guess I have to face the music.
Oh, you know you love it. You're going to be a regular hero.
Yeah, but I don't feel much like a hero now.
Bud, Owen, wait!
Now you're in for it, Bud.
Oh, Bud, you're really real and you've grown, but divine.
Hey, you're choking me.
Oh, I've just been telling everybody you're back. It's too sensational. It's like having a new boy in town, and do we need some?
Gosh, I shouldn't think you'd have any trouble. Why, you're cuter than ever.
Oh, listen to him. He's got a line. Gee, he sends me. Is that something?
The best thing you ever called her before was Buzzard Egg.
Well, gosh, I called her something beside that once in a while.
Well, you did call her Mary Louise.
Well, of course I called her that. Gee, it's swell to see you, Mary Louise.
Bud Owen, you bad boy. Are you going to recognize me or aren't you?
Sure, gee, it's good to see you. How are you anyway?
Now, you're not too grown up to kiss old Mrs. Callahan the way you always did.
Oh, I'll say I'm not Mrs. Callahan here.
Why, I heated enough bottles for you and washed enough of your diapers, too, so don't let me catch you putting on airs.
No, ma'am, I won't.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What's the matter? Didn't you recognize her?
Mrs. Callahan? Oh, of course I did.
Why didn't you call her what you always used to? Couldn't you see she was sore?
Well, I did.
Bud, you used to call her Aunt Celie.
Well, well, well. I couldn't believe it, but I daren't refute the evidence of my senses. It's the Owen boy, Bud Owen.
Well, I'm glad to see you, sir.
I just saw your mother. Heard you were back.
Told me she was bringing you down to my office in a day or two.
Yeah, she told me.
Your mother's one in a million, young man. She thinks only of your welfare. I hope you've learned to appreciate her.
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, I just want to check on the news. And no nonsense, my boy. You do as your mother says.
What did he mean, no nonsense?
Don't you know?
Well, I guess so. Mother told me she was going to take me down to the lawyer's office this morning.
Oh, Bud.
I've been waiting for you to outsmart yourself, and this is it.
I don't get it.
You sure don't, Bud.
Give him a chance, Joe.
Because it so happens that's not Mr. Reedy, the lawyer, but Dr. Sterling, the dentist.
I talked fast, and Ellen took my side. And when we got Joe calmed down, I knew he was going to watch me like a hawk from then on. That afternoon, Ellen got the real snazzy idea of going to the beach. My father knocked off work and drove us down, sort of to celebrate my homecoming. It was really a hot day, so when we got there, the others made a beeline for the water, but I didn't because of my bandaged hand. I stayed around the beach club near the pool. When it began to get dark, we all dressed and went down to White's restaurant for seafood dinner. Then we walked out on the pier. The same pier where I was supposed to have been murdered. I remember I said something about taking the body back to where X marks the spot, and everybody laughed.
Isn't it heavenly out here?
Oh, gee, this breeze is swell.
Well, Bud, looks like you and Joe are right back where you were 3 years ago.
Yeah, I guess so, Father.
Yeah, this railing is just where we stood, isn't it? When you and I had our fight.
Yeah, about.
What's that phobia people have looking down from tall buildings? I get it looking down at the water from up here.
Oh, you shouldn't worry, Ellen. You swim like a fish. Now, me, I should really feel funny.
About ready to go home, children? I don't want Judith to worry you.
All right, Mr. Cunningham. It's been such a heavenly day.
Bud, wait a minute.
Come on, Joe.
Wait, a couple of things I want to talk to you about.
Later, Joe, Ellen and Father.
Only take a minute. First, about your not being able to swim.
But, Joe, you knew about that. I never learned. That was why...
Sure. Everybody knew Bud Owen couldn't swim. That was why when you disappeared, they thought I'd pushed you off the pier and you drowned.
Joe, I don't get it. Can't you let bygones be bygones?
Bud Owen couldn't swim. But this afternoon, when you thought we were all at a good safe distance, I walked up the beach club looking for you, and I saw you swimming in the pool.
But I learned...
And your bandage was off. Well, start talking. Or do I have to do the talking? To the cops?
Listen, Joe, you got to wait. You got to give me time.
Now, don't get me wrong. No one in this town would be gladder to have Bud Owen come back than me. After all, I've taken plenty because he disappeared, but rather than let Mrs. Cunningham be fooled...
That's what I mean, Joe. You got to give me time to square things, just a little time.
You better move fast, brother.
Joe, no matter what you think, you know I haven't hurt anybody.
No, not yet.
And if you give me time, nobody will be hurt. I went to Mr. Burrell the next morning and talked about everything, how people were beginning to make cracks about him and the $10,000 reward and the whole mess. I knew things were moving awfully fast, and I told Mr. Burrell he had to help me. That night when she'd finished her coffee, my mother said she was awfully tired, and my father, David, saw her upstairs to bed. I looked out the window, and I saw Mr. Burrell's car pull up to the curb in front of Ellen's house. I knew he was going to do everything he could, but by this time I was scared. Well, at bedtime, my stepfather fixed some sandwiches and we drank some milk. Then he came up to my room with me and we sat down to talk.
Well, I see your mother's been changing your room around. It's not bad.
I guess women like to fuss around and so forth.
That's a fact. And there's no use opposing them.
I guess that's right.
By the way, what's your real name?
Bud Owen.
You don't need to be afraid of me. I've protected you so far.
Why have you?
I asked you first. What's your real name?
Bud Owen.
You're stubborn, aren't you? You know, at first I thought you'd work this little scheme out all by yourself, or with Burrell. But there's someone else involved, isn't there?
Who do you think?
What about that bandage?
Well...
Take it off. Well, well, well. Not even a scar. I don't suppose you'd mind writing with it now that it's healed.
No, I don't mind. What shall I write?
Well, suppose we take this little composition of yours on Alexander the Great. Would you copy this sentence, say, on the top of page 3?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, and to make it a fair comparison, write your name, Bud Owen.
Bud Owen. Here you are.
So she taught you Bud's handwriting, too.
Who did?
My wife. Do you think I didn't know what was going on? Every move she made gave her away. Why is she in such a rush to change her will?
I don't know. Why?
She thought she was being so smart trying to pass you off, trying to trap me. But I was one person who knew you weren't Bud.
Yeah, but what makes you so sure I'm not Bud?
I know. Isn't that enough?
I see.
I know.
I see. Well, don't you think we'd better get my mother in on this?
Yes. Yes, I think perhaps we'd better. She's asleep. We'll have to wake her.
Mother. Mother. Hey, she's... Mother! Mother! No! When I came to, I had an awful pain in the head. I was in my room in bed, and Ellen and Joe and Mr. Burrell were there. For a minute, I didn't know what had happened, and then I remembered. Mother, where's my mother?
She's all right, Bud. She's in the hospital. He gave her enough of those sleeping pills to kill a horse, but she's all right now.
How do you feel, Bud?
Oh, all right, I guess.
Oh, it's a good thing you had us standing by tonight, son. Why, he had you trussed up like a turkey. He was going to hang you.
Gee, Mr. Burrell, he must have been crazy. I guess he wanted to get us both out of the way before Mother could change that will.
For crying out loud, Bud, why don't you let me in on this? I thought...
Gee, I hated to do it, Joe, honest. But I had to. Someone had to be the guinea pig.
It was my idea, Joe. I sent the note to Mr. Burrell. I really found Bud in that hash house.
Yeah, but if you'd let me in on it,
we knew if Bud could fool you, if you thought he was a phony, he could fool everybody, even David Cunningham.
You see, Joe, for 3 years I suspected that guy. He pushed me off the pier that night, but... I was only a kid. I knew it'd be just his word against mine, so I ran away. I kept putting off coming home, but I swore that someday I'd trap him, and tonight I did. Because he said he knew I wasn't Bud Owen, I knew that he thought he'd kill me.
You took one whale of a chance tonight, Bud. He'd framed you pretty. Another half hour, and we'd have found your mother dead, you strung up, and that suicide note you wrote propped up on the dresser.
Kid. Suicide note? Why, I just copied a sentence out of an old composition, something about Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great? Listen to this. It is terrible what awful crimes are done for greed and ambition. Signed, Bud Owen.
Sure, you see? I was just writing... What? And I signed that? Holy... Well, that's about all. I didn't know how my mother would take it, having my stepfather turn out to be such a heel, but once she got over the dope he'd slept her, she was fine, as happy as a lark over me. Joe and Ellen, they got married but quick, and now Joe's in the Marines, and me, I'm just passing the time here in Edgerton till I'm 18 and my number comes up, and then maybe I'll see a little excitement.
And so closes The Visitor, starring Eddie Bracken, tonight's tale of Suspense. Suspense is produced by William Spear. Before Mr. Bracken returns to the microphone, here's a definition of yourself.
Connoisseur, one competent to act as a critical judge of an art or in a matter of taste. That's what Webster says. So that makes you a wine connoisseur, because certainly you are competent to act as a critical judge of a wine's taste. Matter of fact, all you have to know to be a true wine connoisseur in the opinion of your friends and guests is a single word, Roma, R-O-M-A. To get the proof, make your own taste test of the tangy, appetizing Roma sherry, the hearty, satisfying Roma burgundy, the heavier, sweeter Roma port, or any of the many different delicious Roma California wines. If your favorite dealer is temporarily out of the kind of Roma wine you prefer, ask for it again, please. Just be sure to say R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Eddie Bracken, and this is one of those nights I'll certainly remember for a long time. I've always hoped, A, to be allowed to play a real, genuine, dramatic role, and B, it's been an ambition of mine to get a crack at this show, Suspense, because, well, I think it's tops. The next two broadcasts in this series should be particularly interesting. I know I won't miss either of them, because Orson Welles is going to star in that very thrilling story, Donovan's Brain, which will be done in two parts, one part next Thursday and part two the following week. And one more word, don't forget to buy some war bonds.
Eddie Bracken will soon be seen in Paramount's Hail the Conquering Hero. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Orson Welles in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Lisa, could you pass me a glass of your Roma wines?
I'm sorry, it's all for me. Can't share.
Just one glass? You got to drink the whole bottle?
There's only one glass. I don't really like to share.
Okay, that's The Visitor on Suspense, May 11th, 1944. Eddie Bracken in that. Joseph Kearns, who played the Man in Black there. Do you remember Dennis the Menace?
Course.
The TV series? Well, Joseph Kearns was Mr. Wilson, the next-door neighbor. For a while, Gail Gordon played that part, too. But Joseph Kearns was also the vault guard on the Jack Benny program. He did a ton of radio. The producer-director, William Spear. We had John McIntyre in that cast, Hans Conried, Jeanette Nolan. There was a lot of great actors in that. And, of course, your favorite sponsor, Roma Wines. It's heard on CBS.